The transportation meeting of 19th of April will come to order. We don't have a quorum, but we'll go ahead and hear testimony on these bills. This was my intention not to move these out anyway, as there is a proposal now by the governor. And we'll wait and hopefully that we'll have the proposals by the governor within a short time and take a look at those proposals also. I also have the letter here that we talked about yesterday, letter of intent. I'm going to take a look at it. I'm not sure if this is what we want, but we can discuss it. And
well, this isn't what I said, that's for sure.
Listen, well,
guys,
yeah.
So I shouldn't. I thought there was no question there was a job to do and that these people had not been doing it. And you leave that to the last paragraph. A lot of people won't even read that far.
Well, if it's a letter of intent to the Institute of Chairman, I'm sure that they will. Oh, we do have a quorum.
Good.
Right. Representative Herman, Representative McBride, Representative Block, and Representative Phillips, and myself, Representative Miller, are in attendance. Here.
And I thought you were going to list in your letter of all the things you're supposed to do, recommend that they have these people in for hearings. No?
Well, this is a rough draft. Mm-hmm. That's right. What would you like to add on to it? Because like I said, this is a rough draft.
First of all, I think that I made the statement on the record that I was voting no because we had not been provided with testimony from the commission, nor had we been provided with testimony from the administration regarding how they would implement the phasing out of this commission, because you know the audit recommended doing away with them. We had absolutely no input except from someone who was here representing an airway, and we had a packet from the trucking industry. So, you know, frankly, I was offended, and I think that, as far as I'm concerned, I don't know how anyone could propose that, yes, the commission should be kept based on the input that we had. I think everyone that voted for keeping it voted because they knew there was a job to be done. And they hoped that the commission would do it. But I think that we need to convey that to... I don't think there's anyone here who felt they were doing a good job. Except maybe the witnesses.
Well, I think the last paragraph addresses that. to review the performance of the commission.
We already had an audit that reviewed the performance of the commission. I think we all... Here's Mitch, and he probably can say it better than I can. He said it about twice yesterday.
This is a working draft on the letter of intent yesterday with the BTC bill.
Let me just go paragraph by paragraph.
Okay.
Get in first,
Jim, I'd like to, on the first paragraph, second to the last line of the first paragraph, delete motor put service.
Is there any objection to that? Saying none. Forward.
That's right.
will have the backups and we'll just hold the letter for until tomorrow. You guys go ahead and take the draft and think about it. And we'll get on with the testimony on 295 and 296, I believe it is. 294.
You want me to bring this in and just let it be tomorrow?
Yeah. Okay, we only have one person registered to testify, Bill Blue.
Thank you. I'm actually not testifying. I just have a few questions. For the record, my name is Belle Blue. My legal name is still Betty Brecht, but I'm in the process of changing it, so I go by the name of Belle. The main question that I would like to know is who stands to benefit from building this bridge?
200,000 people. Maybe 250.
And who would these people be?
People South Central Alaska. Or anybody who happens to be in the area, for that matter.
And in what way would they benefit from that?
What way?
Uh-huh.
You want to answer that, Barb? It's going to your district.
Well, first of all, it would be safer, shorter transportation. They would have access to an area for suburb, if you will, of Anchorage. There are many hundreds of acres. The Anchorage Bowl is becoming very, very overpopulated.
Could I ask, are those acres that you mentioned, are those privately owned? Or are those
a lot of them are state and rural.
So that would then be sold to the public for building on?
I cannot guarantee that the state would sell it. I would certainly hope so.
Yes.
But that would be like the plan.
Normally, we accept testimony, and in the committee, we usually are the ones that ask questions. You can
just
corner us individually and ask us the questions, and I'm sure we'll all do the best we can to answer them
for
you.
Okay. Thank you for telling me that. I'm not really very well acquainted with the procedures, but one thing also I would just like to say, and then in testimony, is just perhaps ask for a little more time to think about it. I just read about this, the governor's proposal last night in the paper, and that was about 12 hours to think about it.
Well, we will not be passing these bills out today.
Right. Okay, well, I'll check with you individually then, or I'll listen. Perhaps these will be covered. Thank you.
Is there anyone else to testify on these?
I'm Neil Phelps Munson for the Speaker's office. We had originally planned, of course, to pursue these bills with all vigor, as I think the committee had prior to the governor's announcement over the weekend. And because of his announcement, of course, the Speaker's office wants to sort of go on hold for the time it takes to get more material from the committee. So I'm just entering the record as the Speaker's office very definitely favoring the project yet. There's probably more opportunity for redundancy in supporting this project than any other issue before the legislature right now, I should think. Last week, for example, there was a teleconference hearing held at 9 o'clock at night, which we had a dozen people testify, which is a little unusual. They were all in favor of the project, not one negative. And the comments ranged all the way to those of a...
Are we talking about 294 or 295?
We're talking about both of them.
Well, one's authorization and the funding.
They're connected. They're
connected. The comments ranged all the way to those of a former district highway engineer, whom many of you know, who growled, "I've been building that damn thing for 25 years. Let's get after it." the comments ran generally to that form. So the Speaker's office very definitely still intends to support the project, is anxious to work as closely as possible with the administration on them, and is simply awaiting detail on the proposal, which so far we know principally from what we've all read in the press, and that's about it. We will have more appropriate testimony at the appropriate time.
Is there any questions?
Yeah, I mean, let me see if I understand. You are 100% supporter of the position. I obviously am, but the governor's proposal, in essence, is identical, right?
No. The governor's aim is identical.
Okay.
Getting the roads and bridge built, getting a crossing built.
Right.
If his scheme for doing it is a shorter, quicker, more efficient, less expensive way, great. We're all for it. You know, there's no pride of authorship in the method used for getting there. We just want to get across the arm. I've personally been involved in this thing for over a dozen years, and having worked in the department during one of the times when it was a priority item.
I see no difference between what we've originally talked about and the development of it and what the governor's outlining, except for he's being a little more specific right down to some kind of design criteria, talking about
three-mile bridge. Yes, he also intends to involve a private contractor who would have a monopoly on the tolls for a period of time to pay off the cost of the actual bridge construction. So you run into a problem, Representative Szymanski, with using federal funds. You cannot use federal funds on anything on which a toll is imposed, you see. Now, the governor's scheme contemplates using at least partly federal funds. What they're discussing is using federal funds on the roads to and from the crossing. Now, I have not a recent enough acquaintance with federal regulations on the subject to determine how close you can get to a toll facility with federally funded pavement. I really don't know, but that's one of the things that they've got to deal with and iron out before. I really have no idea. It may have changed in the dozen years since I had to do it. I know that those years ago, it was pretty firm. You couldn't even get close to it with any kind of a toll facility. Couldn't get close to a federally funded arterial. That's just one of the things that has to be ironed out.
Representative McBride.
In statement of purpose on line 12 through 15 in bill number 294, I wonder if this could maybe be an error. It says, and further to development of public transportation systems in the vicinity of toll bridges and causeways. Reading that wrong. I mean, I'm reading it right.
Sounds to me like it's information, please.
And further development.
In the vicinity of.
That's right.
What, you want the toll on the bridge, don't you?
That's right.
But the statement's saying that the way I read it, if the Nick Arm crossing's there, then you're going to obviously have, more development of road systems on the other side. There's nothing on the other side right now of the arm, other than Point McGinsey's farm contract. That's it.
Yeah, that would be.
And you're going to have to develop a road system for the farmers in that area anyway. So it's encouraging development of the surface transportation on the other side.
It's attempting to discourage building a bridge to nothing.
Could I ask another question? Is this House Bill 294, is the purpose of it to establish just one authority, or is the purpose of it to just one authority?
It's to establish a single state entity, which would be the Toll Bridge and Causeway Authority. It's presently aimed at just a single project. All others within its purview.
Okay, then when you go on further down then on the membership of the authority, that's what I thought it would mean.
Mm-hmm.
On line 25, and it says, and one public member of each borough where the toll bridge or causeway is located. Now, say eventually we had six of these projects around the state.
Mm-hmm.
Would that mean that there would be the rest of the people plus six borough members on there?
I suspect that probably needs some sorting out, because I'm guessing, I think it's not sufficiently precise there. I have trouble with that line myself. I think probably the way it would function eventually, and that's something the committee would want to unsnarl, is that in matters and decisions affecting a particular project, then members from that particular borough or boroughs would be involved. As in, for example, with the presently contemplated project, there would be a public member from the Anchorage borough and from the Mat-Su borough. You get a little further south, and perhaps you'd have from the Anchorage borough and the Kenai Peninsula borough. And so those individuals, I'm guessing, would sit when matters concerning their particular areas are before the commission.
27.
27, Carmen.
Could you say it's for one authority? Or?
It's for a single authority and presently aimed at a single project, but any toll projects would be within its purview, mm-hmm. which is constituted as indicated in the draft legislation.
Then the appropriation is for the Toll Bridge Causeway Authority for the design and construction of Smith and Turnagain Arm Causeway. So it only has money for this project, right? I mean, that's what
the outside. Right, yes. At the outside.
And then is there a fiscal, is the $50,000 the fiscal note for this?
$50 million
for the fiscal note for this bill?
Right, for $295, yes. Mm-hmm. Because that would be essentially seed money.
Yes. But there again, there really aren't any certainties until we get more detail from the administration's proposal wired in to discover where we can go from here. Hopefully, simply because they're in place, these bills can be used with the necessary detail from the administration proposal included.
I would just like to say that these bills have done their job. They have focused the new administration in on where and what they should do. Money has been appropriated over the years and as recently as the last two in order for them to design and hopefully build this thing. And if nothing else, that project seemed to be on hold until these bills were introduced. So
You know, some of the members of the legislature do not live in, you know, the Rail Belt area. This project's been kicked around since 1955, and there has been a study in 55, 56, and I think it was another one in 72. And about 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, we put in $5.5 million to update those previous two studies. And right now, all but, I think they've thus far the state spent $800,000 out of the 5.5 in the studies right now for the Kinnick Arm Crossing. But all it is, to my knowledge, is updating the 72 study. So this thing has been around for almost 30 years now.
Apparently the money that was expended out of the $5.5 million also includes the proposal which the administration has at hand, on which incidentally I'm told they expect a report tomorrow that is supposed to be in your hands sometime tomorrow.
And this has been kicked around in our area for 30 years, and frankly, nothing of substance has really happened other than the studies. People in the, particularly in South Central, are getting impatient.
So how much of this $50 million is going to go into more studies or design?
Not in the
How much is going to design?
Probably the whole thing. Yeah, design engineering, because this project's over 100, over $600 million.
And the EIS presumably would come
well,
out
yeah,
also.
EIS, environmental tax statement.
I would also like to say at this time that we're going to try to have Commissioner Casey in next Wednesday, not tomorrow, but the week after that. He has some graphics and things that pertain to this, so we'll have a meeting with him next Wednesday.
I have one more question on House Bill 294. That's on page 3, line 10, and it says that they have these powers to sell, lease, or exchange, donate, convey, or encumber, and then it says, when in the judgment of the authority, the action is in furtherance of its corporate purposes. Then you go down to line 16, and it says, to enter into contracts with the United States, or any, and subject to the laws, and so forth, and subject to concurrence of the legislature. Isn't that a little bit conflicting? In other words, they can sell the whole thing out for a dollar, and if that's in their judgment of the authority, mm-hmm. yet to make a contract, they have to have a concurrence of the legislature. Does that?
I think there are statutes, representatives, that require that language. I think that's the source of that particular item. That there are certain things that even state-created agencies may only do with the concurrence of the legislature.
Be like APA kind of thing.
Representative.
Yeah, you're correct there, and that the standard procedures for authorities, the establishment of authorities and things, it's standard the language they do have that.
There's got to be a controlling factor of some kind.
There certainly isn't anything wrong with it, it's just.
Yeah, the equivalent of APA fell on a hydro project without knowing.
But it seemed like the two statements conflict when they can do all those things,
mm-hmm.
when in their judgment the action is in furtherance of its corporate purposes, then it goes down and then to do any contracting with anybody, then only that is subject to the concurrence of the legislature. And that may be right, you can be right, but it seems like the two kind of conflict.
Well,
I'm not a lawyer.
Representative Chairman, if you use the put the language in here, the concurrence of the legislature up here, there'd hardly be any, we'd be the ones that would be running it. The authority, number one, and they couldn't do anything without our permission. So this is good because you're talking about here the United States or a person subject to the laws of the United States. So we're getting into Fed situation here. We're dealing with them. I think it's only proper that we, on behalf of the state, look at those problems and approve those or disapprove them when you're dealing with federal government.
Well, the
not giving them the opportunity to get out.
Any person, to me, I was reading any time they contract.
But and subject to.
Okay, subject to.
Are there any further questions? It's great for me. You know, as a personal.
I think we're great guys outside of South Central ask these questions because we're
making a point. Yeah, Mr. Ward is here, and I wonder if there's really a reason that we really need the Kinnick Arm Crossing.
Representative Ward, would you like to testify?
I don't want that question answered.
Yes, my name is Representative Jerry Ward, and this morning I finally decided that I'm in favor of this project after much deliberation, that I think that we should have the Kinnick Arm Crossing. I think that it's a good project. I just want to be here to show support on it. The testimony, at least from my particular area and constituency, have wanted the bridge for some time. They endorse and embrace the concept which has been proposed in these bills by a usury-free, the toll bridge authority paying for it. And I think that most projects, whether they be railroads or sitting or whatever, if they don't stand on their own merits, they probably should not ought to be built. This one does stand on its own merits. I was very pleased to hear the governor's remarks. I think that this is an exciting, long overdue project. And I am fairly familiar with it, and I think that most everybody from the rail belt and probably from the whole state is familiar with it. We've heard it ragged around for 20 years now, and this comes down to it. I think that the thing that sums it up, which Neil's gone now, but basically, if we just would have simply thrown one rock in for every dollar we spent studying it, we'd be halfway there, and it's going to cost more if we don't do it immediately. I do. I really, after talking to some large companies that have shown some interest into this, I do believe that 36 months it can be built.
It's only 3 miles.
Representative Phillips. Well, Jerry, not everybody's aware of it. We had a lady right back here asking questions about it. I guess you're from Southeast, I guess. I'm assuming that. And Jack and Ed have been asking some very good questions. So, you know, because we're up there, we tend to think that, you know, the rest of the world's run by us.
Are there any other questions?
There, I think I have no piece of paper, but I think I know pretty well some stuff on it.
Represent both?
It hasn't, you know, I haven't seen the study that the governor's, I assume that he's going to bring it out or whatever he's going to do. But I guess they selected the Glen Highway Boniface and run it through Elmendorf Air Force Base, and is that 3 miles, the actual water?
Yes.
The three. I just a word of caution, because both Elmendorf and Fort Rich are in my district, but dealing with the feds and particularly the military, it's going to be a monumental task just to get across their military lands from DOD. We had an appropriation for a bike path about 5 years ago, and we finally got it through last year. So that's a word of caution that Spartan Defense is going to be probably not too crazy about having 29,000 cars going one way through their military reservation.
They have been approached, and this subject with the commander has been brought up. They are going underneath the Eklutna municipality agreement with a floating easement for the Knick Arm crossing, which was in place there, which also encumbered military land, with full agreement from the military, because part of that cost, you'll see that the governor has put forth, this number just pops there for some reason, some $75 million is just for removing certain military facilities to another place. The military has, as Commissioner Casey will testify later on, they have been in contact. They set up on the Knick Arm Steering Committee, and they are fully aware, and yes, it is a monumental problem. But with the cooperation between the state and the military, it should be able to be resolved, hopefully.
Right. Well, I just want to give you a warning.
What does the military use this stretch 3 miles? What do they use it for now? Do they use it for a training ground? Have they got tanks running across it? Have they got ammo bunkers in there? What do they have?
They have three radar things. The three radar things. That's the ones that got to be moved. Okay, that's where the money comes. The rest of it is just diverting usury patterns, which aren't going to cost
much.
What's
that mean?
They got to change some roads. They got to stop some tank trails from going across, and they're going to have to divert, and they're going to have to make a combat playground over here. Not a playground. There's another word.
Training ground.
Training ground. They'll make a small training ground over here, and
boy,
they'll make another training program. They used to have one big training program, so they make a Section A for small intensified firefighting. They can do that from usury patterns. The big thing was the three radar stations that are right in the middle of this, right in the path of where the bridges ought to go. They have now come to an agreement. It's a very simple agreement. The state pays them money and they move them. And that's they get.
I think, Representative Ward, you're going to find there's a lot of between the cup and the lip, there's an awful lot of distance when you get down to it, because if different commanders come in, and he has different ideas. Again, a Representative Phillips' warning or caution is should be very well taken. It should be worked on all the time with the military, because they're adamant about their property, because they see themselves losing more every year, or attempting to. If you recall, they wanted to put just a high line down, electrical line down. Boy,
yes,
we almost went to war on that one.
The agreement there was no surface transportation. It was all helicopters, which is very expensive.
I can tell you right now that is going to, I understand that, because out of everybody that has been talked to about this subject, the military is the only negative factor.
Right.
The people are negative. And why,
I can
understand, but I don't necessarily agree with it. But there are, under the Eklutna agreement, there are easements across military land. Now, they aren't at this site that the governor wants, or the governor's proposed, and I believe he has some commitments. I have a meeting with him at 3:30 today to talk about this subject, but he feels comfortable that he has some commitments on some exchanges of some properties or things, and I think that we're going to maybe see Campbell Airstrip come back into play. I'm not quite sure what the whole reality is.
Also, has our congressional delegation tied into this? Because, we're going to need to help them to get this thing across. That's, Jerry, I'm just giving you a warning, because that's what I had to do to get the bypass. We worked through our congressional people, and they expedited. They cut the time in half. And I was just a little 20-foot wide bike path along the side of the road. Didn't harm anybody.
Stevens, Young, and Murkowski are all aware of this project. They're all aware of the timing of the project, and they're all in support of the project. And they, yes, they are aware.
Are there any further questions, Representative Ward? Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you.
Just a little point.
A little point.
Like Randy said that, you know, this is just for design, and no way for construction, and, you know, it's for the authority and the design. Why then did they put in construction?
Because, that is general language for the design bid appropriation bill. It is a part of construction, the design bid.
Isn't it
preparation is part of construction of a project. It's in every bill. I have questioned it over and over.
Couldn't it just say for design? Well,
but
we have to say for construction.
Well, if you had $500,000 left, why wouldn't you want to then use that as part of the money to construct with? I mean, why would you want to restrict yourself?
Yeah, I'm just wondering why.
But I've been told by engineers that the design bid part of the design is considered the construction of a building or anything. There's three parts to it.
Right.
And
design,
that's part of it.
And then bid.
Design,
and this, at the time when you get the package, I'll talk everyday language here. Time you get the package together and ready for bid, that's the start of construction, right? Right at that point.
It's not designed.
No, it's designed and finished, and it's ready. The package is ready for the contractors to bid on that package. That's everyday language. I can get in the engineer technical talk.
So you're
going
to get up to that point.
Well, this is just a mere guess, as far as I know, and you know, any money that's left over, if any, will probably be dedicated towards the construction of the causeways. Emphasize again, you have your engineers, and they put the design package together and say, here it is, and then they let it out. They're ready for bid, and that's when the construction starts officially.
Through the chair to Representative Phillips, let me ask you this. Do you see $50 million worth of real design work needed? I mean, I'm not an engineer, and you're probably not an engineer either.
No, yes.
You go 3 miles across something, why does it take $50 million? Is it, it makes me wonder sometimes whether or not, like...
Well, let me just, I'm not an engineer, but in the contract administration, your engineering and contract administration should run about 15% of the total, 15 to 20% under normal conditions. In private industry, I don't know, the state is probably higher. But this project here is 631, so if you take 15 to 20% for design and the contract administration, then it would probably take it. And that, you know, and what I mean is the engineering design, you let it out to bid, and you gotta have people out here in the field, and that's contract administration, means your inspectors and the guys in the office to keep the, and other people, keep the contractors honest as far as their work's going. So that's, you know, when I say design, engineering, and contract administration, between 15 and 20% of the total budget. I think it would cover it. Representative Herman?
Yeah, there must be a lot more information than this right here. Who's got all this?
Yeah. Ward's got it. Speaker's office got it. There's a study from 72, about 3.5 inches.
As I said, we will have the commissioner in next Wednesday, and we will have a lot more.
And I haven't seen this other study that we had funded 2 years ago. I'd like to take a look at it.
Well, isn't that group coming in with the commissioner, or is it the group that's coming down?
I am not sure. He will be in with
if anyone's coming up from that graduation.
Well, some time ago, I had sent letters and correspondence back and forth to that contractor engineering firm to, because when I was in for the rendezvous, they had a big display and a layout on where the crossings were and where they were at and all that. So, two or three pieces of correspondence, I kind of backed off it because I understood that they had made a commitment to come down and make a presentation to the legislature on it, and I don't know where they're at. Matter of fact, I was going to ask Jerry that, but I just assumed it was the same one when you were talking about maybe coming down with Casey. But if not, I guess I'd like to, through the chair to the transportation representative, see whether or not we can't get those folks down here, because I think that's a valid question. These guys have been out there. They built a beautiful display for the rendezvous, which I think they could probably share with some of the legislators and bring them up to speed on where everything's at.
At this time, we do have, Mitch has been working on our letter of intent for 313. He'd like to read it.
I don't know if this will approve this, if I'm your indulgence. Recommend to the House Transportation Committee that it's in the state's best interest to continue the Alaska Transportation Commission because of the importance of the Alaska Transportation Commission in order to provide for the enforcement of motor and air transportation regulations. In testimony before the House Transportation Committee, several people said the reason ATC has not been able to implement recommendations from previous audits is that they have not received sufficient funding from legislation to hire personnel necessary to accomplish the recommendations. This is one reason, because of the increase in motor and air traffic. The other reason being that the ATC has been neglectful in following practices to ensure the efficient operation, and according to the facts revealed in the audit, that was borne out. It is further suggested that the qualifications of the commissioners be reviewed to ensure a more efficient operation, both for the benefit of the carriers and the public in the area of safety. The ATC is the most important link or buffer between the federal government, the state, and the industries. Therefore, the ATC should be continued.
So comment there, Paolo.
Yeah, it sounds real good. Not just sure. We should say surface, where you say motor.
What did I say, surface?
Motor.
To surface.
Yeah, and then you said several people. I think we ought to say several witnesses.
Several, testimony, several witnesses.
The only other thing would be at the first where he said we thought it was important that that commission be continued. It's almost as though we're giving him a little pat. I would say it is important that there be a transportation commission or a commission for transportation or whatever it is.
There is one.
I know that. I guess I just wanted to set the tone to begin with, if you can, that these people aren't doing the job.
Well, I kind of set that down.
Yeah, I think.
I really set it down there.
The other question, comment I have is that, Mitch, I had the feeling that most of the testimony, everybody was concerned with the field enforcement aspects not being followed through on, and again that they have not done it for the last 4 years. And I was talking about where they haven't gone into the field and
well,
emphasized field enforcement.
One of the reasons is they said because they didn't have funds enough to do it.
According to the audit, they only have one and a half.
Motion
one place in there that you said motor again.
Yeah, there are two places.
Both have been to the carriers and public.
Having heard the letter,
Chairman, I move the proposed letter of intent as authored by Representative Booth.
No problem.
I might.
Is there objection?
There it was.
Hearing no objection, so moved. Yeah, are there any more comments?
I got one more comment for the guys outside the rail belt. One of the reasons why it's so expensive, we have that Cook Inlet tide, second largest, or as far as going out and coming in, is 31 feet, and that's engineering feet in itself.
And that's what we've been dealing with the DNR committee.
Okay, tomorrow we will be taking up House Bill 303, I believe, Spitman Road. I believe somebody has a vested interest in it.
I have a vested interest, and I told my people when I was home that it was not necessary to send their public opinion messages anymore to this transportation committee. I said, save them for finance. Now, I hope, Mr. Chairman, you don't let me down.
or I could have had 1,000 public opinion messages.
I have all the attention in the world.
Good. I said save it.
Being adjourned.
Hey, do we-